whose 16 fundamentals of the faith declare that we believe in the gifts that were given to the church. In the New Testament, it's very clear, identifies those gifts. Those gifts were given to the church. And those gifts, all of those gifts, I believe it was God's intention in his heart for those gifts to still be at work in each church to lift and glorify and edify the believers in that church. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's so many of those gifts that build up the body, that build up, whether it's the gift of faith or the gift of miracles, the gift of healing, the gift of discernment, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy. All those gifts are for the benefit of the church as a body of Christ. And God gives those gifts to us for those gifts to be active in our individual lives and in the ministry of us as a group of believers. And I grew up, and perhaps some of you did too, I grew up all of my life in a Pentecostal church. My mother's dad was a Pentecostal minister and evangelist. And though my father's dad was not Pentecostal, he was Church of God, but it was the non-Pentecostal Church of God. But he was certainly into holiness and righteousness, I can assure you of that, and sanctification. And so in my life growing up, Pentecost was just the natural. And the church services that I was involved in as a child growing up, looking back into the 50s and the 60s, we might have erred at times being a little too full of emotion and excitement. And in that emotion and excitement, we might not have been as consistent with the scripture regarding tongues and praying in tongues in the worship services. You know, the Bible makes it real clear that the gifts and the use of the gifts, we speak specifically of the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. The Bible gives us very clear instructions and direction in terms of the use of those gifts for the edifying of the body of the church. And Paul writes very clearly that while he says, I wished you all spoke with tongues, and I speak with tongues more than you all, he also gives the instructions and the directions for tongues in the congregation when there's a group of people that come together. And basically, I'm going to simplify this, he's saying that when you come together, if everybody's speaking in a tongue and there's no understanding and there's no interpretation, then people that come in, they're not edified. Nobody's edified because nobody knows what's being said. The person that's praying in tongues is edified, but nobody else is. And so Paul's instructions are very clear that when you come together, that you should only be praying in tongues when there is someone there to interpret that message. Just as we have in our church at times, someone praying in tongues, and then there's an interpretation. That unless there's an interpretation, or unless there's an expectation or belief, there's an interpretation, that if we're just praying in our personal prayer language, just in prayer to God, that that's not appropriate in the congregational setting. Because that leads to confusion, especially if the unlearned, it says the unlearned, or those that haven't read the Word of God, don't understand what's going on. And so it's clear that that gift is for edifying the body, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, which is a separate gift from the gift of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues in a prayer language that you don't understand, that you may be doing at home in your prayer closet or with a small group of just other believers together, but that's not in the worship service. So you're not expecting necessarily interpretation. It's simply a part of your praise in worship to God. As Paul said, I speak with the tongue and I speak within my spirit. I pray with the tongue and I pray with my spirit. So tonight as we're talking about tongues, I'm focusing on this title, The Biblical Understanding of Praying in Tongues. And I want to be real clear that I believe so wholeheartedly that it is the will of God for every Christian to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of praying in other tongues. I do not believe that that is necessary for salvation. I do not believe that that is necessary to go to heaven. But I believe that it is a blessing and a gift and a promise from God for us, His children, that He wants us to be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit by speaking in other tongues. And so with that kind of as a pretext or sort of a setting a foundation, if you would, to this sermon tonight, in 1955, in an Assembly of God church in Luxor, Arkansas. Anybody know where Luxor, Arkansas is? Anybody have any idea where that's at? Luxor, Arkansas. That church, this Assembly of God church in Luxor, Arkansas, had invited a missionary from China. He'd been in China for many years, and they invited him to come and to share the gospel and talk about his work in China. Well, it was the custom of this particular church in Arkansas that the men and the women would meet in separate rooms before the worship service would begin. So the ladies might be in one room praying and the men might be in another room praying and seeking God before the worship service. That's a very good thing, by the way. It's a great thing. Well, as the missionary and the church pastor walked into the building, as they walked in, you could hear the cries and the prayers of an old grandma in the ladies' room praying in tongues as the other ladies in that room were all praying together. And suddenly the missionary from China stopped and listened to her praying in tongues. And he said, "That lady is praying for the members of my church in China, calling out every name of the people in my church in perfect Chinese." When the prayer group had ended, the visiting missionary from China asked the dear lady how she come to know Chinese. And she says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I've never spoken Chinese in my life." And he said, "You just spoke perfect Chinese as you prayed in another tongue." And then he explained to her what he heard her saying. It's examples like this that I just gave, true life documented example, that God uses these examples just like He did on the day of Pentecost to remind us of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's desire and will to work in our lives even more today than ever. Now, I want to be real clear on this. Not every prayer in tongues is a recognizable language. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, that's the only example in the New Testament in which people were praying in other tongues and others heard their discernible languages being spoken by those praying in tongues as the baptism of the Holy Spirit fell on those 120 in the upper room. In fact, let's just take a minute and look at that scripture again. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles or your iPhones or however you like to look up scripture, we don't have PowerPoint tonight, so you have to just listen. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 4 through 11. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, 'Look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.'" That was quite a miracle, wasn't it? That was given on the day of Pentecost. How many of you remember meeting one of our missionaries to Germany named Sharon Reeves? Some of you remember Sharon Reeves, don't you? She's an incredible missionary. Before she went to Germany, she was preparing for ministry, and she was attending Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas, over on 67, just as 67 cuts off from I-35. So she was in training and class and by biblical studies at Christ for the Nations, and she had a Palestinian roommate, pretty unusual, a Palestinian roommate, a young Christian girl that got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was Sharon Reeves' roommate, and this young woman's name was Elizabeth. Well, one morning they went to pray at the Christ for the Nations prayer room early in the morning, and there were a lot of other young men and women in there praying that morning. And suddenly the roommate, Elizabeth, who was praying on the other side of the room from Sharon, ran over to Sharon Reeves, shaking with excitement. And she said, "Sharon, a young woman just prayed the Lord's Prayer next to me in perfect Arabic." Yet when they asked the woman if she spoke Arabic, she did not know a word of Arabic. And Elizabeth explained to her, "You just prayed the entire Lord's Prayer in perfect Arabic." This miraculous and amazing experience had an enormous impact on that young Palestinian Arab woman that had given her heart to Jesus, Elizabeth. She had been battling depression. She was so far away from home and things that were familiar to her. But yet God, through that miracle, through the Arabic prayer, had given her heart a sense of assurance and peace, and that God indeed was with her. It was quite a miracle. James Fields, an Assembly of God minister and an author of a book that I love very much, and we've got extra copies here. In fact, it's a book that Jerry Morgan's class, I think, has passed out to all the members of the class. The book by James Field is titled Demystifying Speaking in Tongues. And James tells this story when he was a young boy growing up. It was Sunday morning, the worship service had ended, and James was about 8 years old. And his mom's teenage sisters were standing in the foyer, and they were anxiously waiting to leave to head to the A&W drive-in for root beer floats. Well, a small group of adults and children were in the last building, except for a young woman named Phyllis. And Phyllis was kneeling and praying in the sanctuary, and she was praying in other tongues. And this young wife of a Navy man, her name was Phyllis, she got up from the altar and approached the group in the foyer. They're just standing around waiting, getting ready to go to A&W. And so she's been in the altar praying in tongues. She gets up. She's still praying in tongues. And she walks into the foyer, and she's calmly still praying in tongues. And she stood in front of the kids and the adults, one at a time. Now just envision this. She stood in front of each of the kids and adults, one at a time, moving from person to person, repeating an unknown phrase in an unknown tongue, and it was the same phrase to each and every one of those kids and adults standing in the foyer. After spending about 30 to 45 seconds with each person, saying the same unknown words in tongues to each one of them, she turned then and walked back to the altar where she knelt bowed down and continued to pray. Now, this young woman, Phyllis, probably couldn't explain her actions on that Sunday night many years ago, but James Fields will tell you that 9 years later, when he was struggling with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the obedience of that young woman, Phyllis, on that Sunday evening brought forth a crop of a great blessing. James had been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit when he was only 7 years old. That's pretty young. I don't know about you. I was 10 years old when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. James, he said, he was only 7 years old, but during his teen years, he began to ignore God and kind of went his own way, so to speak, kind of backslid. But when he was 17, he rededicated his life to the Lord, and he went to youth camp with the other teens from his church. Well, at camp, they had great preaching, and many of the kids were baptized in the Holy Spirit, all except James Fields. He was seeking the refilling of the Holy Spirit. He wanted again to feel God's presence and to praise Him in a heavenly language provided by the Holy Spirit. In fact, James would tell you that he expected the Holy Spirit of God to take over his entire body and mind and enable him to praise and to give thanks in languages other than English, but it never happened. And he would ask himself, why can't I be baptized again in the Holy Spirit? Why can't I begin to speak in tongues like I did as a young boy? And the fact was, he would tell you, he was confused about speaking in tongues. He thought the experience happened when the Holy Spirit took complete control of the human being, completely controlled them. He expected God's Spirit to perform 100% of the activity the New Testament refers to as speaking in tongues. And since the Holy Spirit was not totally controlling his mind, his tongue, his vocal cords, and all his speaking apparatus, then he didn't utter a sound. He was praying and just waiting, okay, Lord, here I am, baptize me. And he thought the Holy Spirit was just to take over and take complete control of everything, like I just described to you. And as a result, he would tell you there was no sensation of God's presence. There was no sense of the presence and the filling of the Holy Spirit. There was nothing. Well, later during camp, one evening when the kids were praying, some of the teenagers returned to the outdoor amphitheater to go pray again, and James found a place of prayer out there with those on just by himself on the concrete floor of the amphitheater. And he knelt down, he's all by himself, kind of in a little area all to himself. And God, he said, God suddenly caused him to remember the childhood incident in which that young woman named Phyllis had gotten up from the altar and stood in front of each one of those kids in the foyer and uttered that same phrase over and over. And she'd stood right in front of James as a young teenager and uttered that same phrase to him that she uttered to all the other folks. And he remembered that. In fact, his childhood brain almost effortlessly could still remember her five syllables that she repeated over and over and over, those five syllables as she was praying in other tongues in front of each person. Now, he didn't share what it was, but it, you know, could have been Oshkasha Bami, Oshkasha Bami, or who knows what it could be, but it was five syllables. And he remembered it. And suddenly, as he's praying there in that amphitheater on the floor all by himself, the Holy Spirit began to speak to his heart, showing him that speaking in tongues was not only an activity inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it was also an activity controlled by the human spirit. Let that just sink in for a minute. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, but controlled by the human spirit. Somehow he understood that he had been unwilling to do his part in praying and speaking in tongues. He'd waited for the Holy Spirit to do everything. By the way, can anybody ever remember seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and doing the same thing? I can. The expectation that the Holy Spirit's supposed to do everything, shape his tongue, audibilize the syllables, overwhelm his emotions, take control of his vocal cords, just do it all. And it became clear that he had not spoken in tongues because he was unwilling to speak out by faith. So James decided at that moment to speak those five syllables that he'd remembered that young woman Phyllis had spoken that night years ago when she got up and stood in front of everybody. Those words that had been lodged in his brain since childhood. And nobody laid hands on him, nobody prayed with him. It was just him and the Lord, and by faith, God's promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he spoke those five syllables with a sincere heart. And as he spoke those words that meant nothing to his mind, instantaneously, he felt supercharged by the supernatural presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and an incredible rush of praise and adoration began to flow out of his spirit and his lips and his lungs, and he stood up and began to shout and praise God in a language supplied by the Holy Spirit in other tongues. James Fields says that the Holy Spirit had shown him that speaking in tongues is a partnership. It's a partnership between the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. And if we're unwilling to speak with our mouth, the Holy Spirit cannot speak through us in tongues. It can't happen. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 and 14, where Paul writes, "For if I pray in a tongue, if I pray in a tongue," listen to what he says, "my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now listen to that very carefully. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Notice Paul, when he wrote those words, he didn't mention the Holy Spirit right there, did he? He did not mention the Holy Spirit. He says, "For when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." He referred to himself when he said, "My spirit prays." Isn't that what he just said? It's what Paul said. Paul doesn't mention the Holy Spirit in that sentence, in that scripture, because praying in tongues is a function of both the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. It's not either or, it's both. It's both. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives the utterances, words, and the ability to pray in tongues, but we do the speaking. He doesn't take control of our tongue and vocal cords. The speaking is not really a work of our vocal cords or capacity, but it wells up from within our human spirit, just as Paul spoke those words in Scripture. Our human spirit and the Holy Spirit use our lungs, vocal cords, lips, tongue, and teeth. We articulate out of the human spirit rather than out of the human mind. That's a clear and specific distinction. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 again. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." It indicates that we choose to pray in tongues. That's kind of a new thought, I think, for many of us. We sometimes make the mistake, I believe, that we make the mistake when we think that praying in tongues only happens when the Holy Spirit's powerful presence comes upon us. We may be thinking that the Holy Spirit has to do everything, that we're just passive instruments, waiting for the Holy Spirit just to come on and just do it all. And as a result, we kind of just hold back and we do nothing. Paul's words seems to show that praying in tongues is like speaking our native language, which we get to speak forth, and then the Holy Spirit gives the utterance as we do that. By the way, you remember the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 and 32. Listen carefully. "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Let me just say that again. "And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets." Meaning, I don't lose control. I'm still making the call, so to speak. The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. The ministry of the Holy Spirit does not overpower the individual so that he can't control himself. Though I will admit, growing up in a Pentecostal church, there were a few times some folks were out of control, if you know what I'm saying. Some of you might have experienced that. It's further evidence, though, that the working of the human spirit must be with the Holy Spirit. Go back to Acts 2 and 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These people spoke in tongues. They were speaking with their vocal cords, with their tongue and their lips and their teeth. The Holy Spirit supplied the utterances, but the people made the utterance. You understand as I say that tonight. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. What is the conclusion then? Paul writes these words. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. Now listen to what he said. I will pray with the Spirit, and I also will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding. The word will indicates choice, doesn't it? It indicates choice. I will do this or that means that we have determined to carry out a plan or perform an action. Paul willed to pray in tongues and to sing in tongues. By faith, he willed to do that. And as you begin to speak, the power of the Holy Spirit with his Spirit begin to speak out in utterances he didn't understand, singing or praying. So my prayer tonight is that I pray that we're beginning to understand that the Holy Spirit joins our human spirit. The Holy Spirit joins our human spirit, and the two spirits become one. In fact, the Bible confirms that in 1 Corinthians 6 and 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Praise God for that. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Oneness means partnership. Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our human spirit becomes a partner, if you would, with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us aren't good partners because we expect the Holy Spirit to do everything. Some of us are guilty of that. We have moments we're guilty of that. We expect the Holy Spirit to do everything just to carry us along in some ecstatic experience that completely dominates our vocal mechanisms. Because we think that way, then as a result, we're not being used by God in praying in tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I will also tell you that because of that, there's many Spirit-filled believers who had a one-time experience being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they rarely ever speak in tongues today because they've just got this sense that, well, I just got to wait on God to come upon me and just, boom, do it to me, so to speak. The Lord, I'm telling you, Jesus and our Father wants to teach each of us regarding the choice to speak in tongues. It's ours by faith based on the gift that God pours within us. The ability comes from heaven, doesn't it? It comes from God. Paul had it correct when he says, I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit. I also sing with my mind. As we're led by the Spirit, we will understand that God wants us using our prayer language frequently. He wants us praying in the Spirit. But sometimes our minds doubt that we have the right to do that. Let me give you an expression of what I'm talking about. By faith, we will utter sounds from our mouths that don't proceed from our intellect. We just utter sounds from our mouths by faith, trusting that the Holy Spirit will supply the words that we speak. In fact, in Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You're familiar with that. Well, that's also true. We're talking about this gift of the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, what happens is sometimes doubt begins to creep in just a little bit. And doubt whispers in our minds. I bet this has happened to some of you because it certainly has happened to me. Doubt whispers in our minds, you're making that up. That's you. That's not God. Anybody ever dealt with that? Yeah. Remember 1 Corinthians 14, 2, it says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. So when doubt creeps in and thoughts creep into your mind, the idea comes and says, well, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's you. Then just fight right back with that nonsense and say, he who speaks in a tongue speaks to God. And by faith, I'm speaking to the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me in an unknown tongue. Will make a choice to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and in faith and in trust in that baptism, as the power of God is flowing through you, the utterances aren't from your mind, they're not from your flesh, but they're supplied by the Holy Spirit. But understand that our spirit must partner with the Holy Spirit. May we begin to understand that the benefits of daily praying in tongues, daily praying in our prayer language, it triggers a flow of the Holy Spirit in us. It triggers within us a connecting with the Spirit of heaven and God as we pray in a language that we don't understand, but yet there's this incredible move and power and flow of the Holy Spirit in us as we do that. And as we pray in the Spirit, I will tell you that our fellowship with God will grow, and the power of the Holy Spirit will strengthen our faith, and it'll become so deep and certain and sure, because there's an assurance that happens as the Holy Spirit is flowing through us, and that prayer language is flowing out of our lips that accomplishes divine purposes. Sometimes we know not what to pray for, but the Spirit prays in and through us for those things that we don't understand that we need. Divine purposes. A group of thieves decided to rally at a local church in Panoma, California. They planned to rally at this church and then go on and proceed to looting certain stores in the town there in Pomona, California. When they arrived at the church, it was in the middle of the week, and they wouldn't expect anybody to be there, and they were having a revival. The church was full of people, and a pastor there at that church, or that Assembly of God church, was a Pastor Huntley. They were holding worship service and revival that week. Well, when the thieves gathered there, one of the thieves got there a little bit early. He was from Russia. He was a Russian. And he decided to go into the church. And he went into the church, and when he did, he was surprised by something he heard. During the church service, Pastor Huntley gave a message in tongues. There was tongues and interpretation, he gave a message in tongues, but there was no interpretation. Sometimes that can happen. The person is praying in tongues, but everybody waits for the Lord to speak to a heart, to interpret. Maybe a heart's not willing to step out in faith, or maybe God had another purpose at that moment. But in this case, the pastor gave a message in tongues, but there was no interpretation. But the fellow there from Russia understood every word that was said. And after the service, the Russian fellow went up to the pastor and he said, "Reverend Huntley, you obviously speak Russian." And the pastor says, "I don't think I know what you're talking about. I don't know any Russian." And the young man said, "Reverend Huntley, you spoke beautiful Russian, and I understood every word you said. You said, 'Get right with God. You're on the road to destruction.'" Well, the pastor heard this, and he realized what God had done, that there was a divine appointment that had taken place that night in that church. He urged the Russian to go to the altar and give his heart to the Lord. And the Russian man hesitated. He said, "No, I can't do that. I'm Catholic." But the pastor told him it didn't matter. And the Russian man went to the altar with the pastor, and there he gave his heart to Jesus. And that night he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues right there in that church. In fact, following his conversion, that Russian would-be thief brought the other two would-be thieves to church, and they also got saved. All three of them got saved. All three of them. God's plan to use the gifts of the Spirit to edify the body, to build up the body through tongues and interpretations in the church services, the worship services, always done in order, not out of order. And the wonderful blessing of the gift of tongues, of praying in tongues in your private prayer closet, and at home at your prayer time, reaching up by faith as the Holy Spirit and your spirit partner together, praying in an unknown tongue, to God in heaven for things you may not understand, that builds you up, that edifies you, that strengthens you. And who knows, maybe even praying for a situation they're not even aware of, but through tongues, prayers are going to heaven on behalf of a need, maybe on the other side of the world, that results in a need being met. The gifts of God are still in operation today in the church. And in this church, I pray that we embrace them, that we anticipate the gifts to be in ministry in this church when we come together. That's God's will for us. That's God's plan for us. And I pray that you're hungry for the move and the power of the Holy Spirit, not just for an exciting experience, but to experience God in a more personal, powerful, and wonderful way, and for His power and His blessing to be evident when we come and we worship and we pray. You know, when we started out tonight, we were given the example, James Field was given the example of this pastor and the visiting missionary from China walking into the church, and women in one room, the men in the other, and they're praying before the church service. They're praying for God just to come and minister and His will to be done. They're praying for the anointing. They're praying for the move of, and the power of the Holy Spirit among the people that come together. I can't tell you how many times I've been in church services, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, that seemed like every service we were in the altars. We were on our knees. We were humbling ourselves to God. We were reaching up in faith, and we weren't thinking about what anybody thought or what they might think about us or anything. We were just wanting to come into God's presence and to pray together as the body and to seek God and to feel the love of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. And yes, there were many times when the church service was over and we're there in those altars praying and people are just worshiping and praising God in an unknown language, in another tongue, and no, there's no interpretation. No, that wasn't for the edification of the body. It was just the prayer meeting of the saints and the altars praying in other tongues as the Holy Spirit was flowing through and touching and ministering, and you knew the power of God was moving in that place. There was an expectation, there was a faith, and there was a belief that as we gathered and prayed in those altars that we were about the business of the Father. Oh, there were powerful, wonderful times in those altars of us together praying and seeking God, and how that ministered and built each other up through those experiences. I can't begin to tell you how much it did and how much it meant. I look back in my childhood, I remember how much a difference it made in my life as a young boy growing up with faith in God and believing in the power and the miracle-working power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm in prayer for our church. I'm in prayer for our church to have that passion and that hunger for more of God and to experience the gifts that He has for us in this church. Father, I thank You. I praise You. Oh, how I thank You for the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit in and among us. I ask You, God, I plead with You to open our hearts and our spirits to receive more of what You have for us, more of the power of Your Holy Spirit in our individual lives and in our corporate worship, more of the gifts of the Spirit evident, accompanying the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us hunger for that. And by faith, Lord, we ask You to open the windows of heaven and reach down and fill this place with Your mighty power, Your Holy Spirit, touching hearts and blessing and meeting needs as only You can meet. In Jesus' name, we praise You and we thank You. Amen.